Well, right now, the Royal New Zealand Ballet is touring the country with its latest creation, Black Swan, White Swan. It's quite a bold rework of one of the ballet's enduring classics. Tanya Kapitko has been to see the show, and she joins me on the line now. Hi, Tanya. Do we have Tanya? You're going to grab her now. I'll take a moment to tell you about our Christmas song competition. How about that? It's been a while since I gave it a plug. Now, partway through July is the deadline, so you now have about a month to write the next great Christmas song. It's a little competition we are running in the afternoons. It's open to songwriters and musicians, established or nascent. And we just want you to write a song inspired by or about Christmas. All the details are on the website, rnz.co.nz/Christmas song, where you'll also find details of the prize, which is we fly you to Lyttelton to record with Ben Edwards at the Sitting Room to record your Christmas song, and then we'll release it together later in the year after it's been mixed, professionally mixed at Cog Studios, which is where all the best songs go to get mixed. So if you are a musician, even a famous musician, we've heard from a few of those too, get in touch, take part, and hopefully you will be able to win the thing. But all the details are online, and the deadline, as I say, is coming up in July. Let's go again to Tanya Kapitko, who is standing by. Hi, Tanya.
Hi there.
Your first time on the show, I believe.
I think it is, yes.
Hey, thank you for your time today. You have been to see Black Swan, White Swan. Now, what is this? Is it just another name for Swan Lake?
Well, maybe some people think that's what it is, but it's not at all. And that in itself, I think, is causing a little bit of confusion or surprise, maybe.
So what do people need to know about it before they go along?
I think they need to know that it's a different story, but it uses Tchaikovsky's original score for Swan Lake. And I think that, you know, in itself sets up an interesting situation, because as soon as you hear the score, a lot of ideas come back to you from having seen that ballet so many times. I mean, it's been around since the 1870s or 1890s. So it's well established as a traditional ballet.
I suppose ballet companies like opera companies have to do familiar works quite regularly, but this sort of, in order to get bums on seats, but this is quite a nifty way around it, because you do a reimagining of a familiar one. And me, I've seen Swan Lake in various forms over the years, and I'd probably go along to this because I sort of feel like I will sort of know it.
Yes, no, I think you're right there, Jess, and, it is. It's in many people's knowledge and imaginations, and, of course, it's so beautiful as well. So, yeah, people are attracted.
Would Palmerston North be more of a traditional ballet audience?
I would say so. I mean, that's what's generally said about Palmerston North, and so it's always interesting to see how our audience reacts to traditional ballets or to ballets, to traditional ballet, sorry, and to ballets which are contemporary or either contemporary presentations of a traditional ballet.
Yeah, so how different is it?
I think it's very different, actually.
Tell us about it.
Right, well, maybe the story might be a good place to start. Swan Lake is a two-act ballet. That's the way the score is written. But in this instance, Act 1, it is Siegfried, the name of the character, but this time he's not a prince. And it is his birthday, and on his birthday he receives, according to the programme notes, devastating news. And in his anguish, he sees a mysterious stranger who is in the programme called Von Rothbart, like in the traditional ballet. His wife has arranged a surprise birthday party for him, but obviously after having received this devastating news about his health, he's not really in the mood to celebrate, and he actually collapses on stage, which, you know, and you're quite taken aback by this. Mm. Anyhow, he then encounters Von Rothbart, who begins to manipulate him, and that's an amazing physical rendition of this in the ballet, and he becomes confused. He can't distinguish between reality and fantasy. And he looks to his doctor for support, and she becomes the white swan, and he becomes obsessed with her as the saviour. Well, that's Act 1. In Act 2, Siegfried struggles to regain his identity, and von Rothbart has the upper hand. And to further confuse him, Ron von Rothbart brings out Siegfried's wife transformed into a black swan. And that adds, obviously, to Siegfried's confusion. Finally, towards the end of the ballet, he is fighting harder and harder with von Rothbart for his sanity, his alter ego and everything. That fight is what you see growing and growing in strength during Act 2. So that's what's written in the program. But actually, on the page before in the program, I found that there are notes by the choreographer, Mario Radakovsky, which are much more useful than those program notes.
Okay.
They are that poor Mario actually contracted cancer 21 years ago, and he was in hospital in the Netherlands battling cancer.
This is the person who's created the show.
Correct,
yeah.
Choreographer. And you can imagine how that would be for a young man. Mm. And evidently, from the window of his hospital, he overlooked the lake where swans were gathering. And he looked at their freedom and perfection, but he also looked at how aggressive and dangerous they could be. And in the program notes that say, I thought that if I make it, I will make a ballet about swans. And so for me, to make sense of the story, when I realised that the choreographer had had cancer and I looked at the movement vocabulary that Mario used with von Rothbart, I saw not just an alter ego of Siegfried struggling with his sanity, but I saw a cancer attaching itself to him.
Wow.
And once I took that into the story, the whole ballet took on a much deeper and more significant meaning.
Yeah.
So that's why I guess I'm saying that the more you try and understand what this where this choreographer is coming from, the more you will get from this ballet. Because if you go along and just think it's about Swan Lake, you could get confused. And I do know that in talking to people that went to the ballet in Palmerston North, never bought a program and watched it, we can go back to how the Palmerstonians react to it. They thought it was stunning, quite frankly, and it got lots of applause at the end. I mean, on and on and on. So people really, really loved it, but some people were quite confused about what the story was. And they also, because it's called Black Swan, White Swan, some people came to the ballet thinking it was a ballet version of the Black Swan movie, in other words, a psychological thriller. So there's some confusion going on here.
Yeah. And no shame, Tanya, no shame in getting a bit of context, finding out the storyline before you go to see a show like this.
Well, I don't think so. I know that people, dance people will look at this from both sides. Some dance people will say you should be able to go to a ballet and just get from it, or go to a dance performance and just get from it what it gives. And clearly, for those people that went along to that dance performance without having read a program, they got something from it because they stood up at the end, they clapped like crazy, and they said they loved it. And I actually, to tell you the truth, didn't read the program beforehand. I just went and did that. But having read the program and read more about it, it sort of then went, oh, okay, yes, that makes sense. Wow, that was really powerful.
Great. Let me tell people where it's going to be. So, Palmerston North, it was just the one performance.
One performance.
It's done Tauranga, but now it goes to Auckland, mm-hmm. and Christchurch, Dunedin, and one night in Blenheim as well. Tanya, I really enjoyed your review. Do you get out much? You have to become a regular.
Yes. I mean, I go to loads and loads of dance as much as I can. I must say, if I may, that the ballet company were absolutely superb. So while we might be able to sort of pick a few holes in the choreography, there was nothing wrong with the presentation. It was absolutely absolutely wonderful. They were on top of the game. And the choreography, in terms of its physical vocabulary, is wonderful, especially in terms of the duo work that happens between Siegfried and von Rossart in Act Two. It's just wonderful, as are all the lifts and dives and everything. It's contemporary and it's pretty remarkable.
Okay. It sounds accessible enough. It'd be a nice, safe step from Dancing with the Stars to maybe someone who wanted to go and see, you know, something slightly more challenging.
Yeah, to go and see it, but not to go and try it,
yeah,
eh?
Okay. Nice to talk to you, Tanya. Thank you. Tanya Kapitko.
Thanks a lot.
In Palmerston North.